Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron, time and time again.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Chip Nounger. Chip, how are you doing today, bud?
Hey, doing good. Crazy markets, a little volatility in there, so exactly what the doctor ordered. We were ready to throw up at 7:30 this morning, and now life's great again. We're almost 20 cents. Basically exactly 20 cents off the lows of this morning in the corn market as of the overnight. So we had quite a reversal today in these markets.
Yeah, okay, so that was a crazy thing. So this morning, our Sunday night, I got my alert, and corn was like down a dollar and a half or something like that. Midday, it was down about almost six. And by the end of the day, it was up, what, one and a half or something like that, two or something like that.
Yeah, so we obviously we had a bearish crop report Friday. We had the kind of the ending of the trade talks, and neither side could agree to anything. And we increased the existing tariffs. We're going to tariff another $300 billion. So we threw all the negative news at this thing. And by, I don't know, 8:30, 8:45 this morning, at one point, corn was down like 7, 7 and a half cents.
Yeah.
And ended up a big reversal, about 4, 4 and a half higher. Two things I think are at work here. Finally, the market is starting to realize that we have a planting delay and some weather issues. The midday forecast got colder and wetter. In fact, this morning, looked at my local forecast. We had rain Saturday, Sunday. We've been very, very wet. Probably right into here in this stretch of kind of the I-74 corridor. About as wet as anywhere in the state of Illinois right now. As of this morning, 6:30, I looked at the forecast. We had 6 days of 70s and sunshine and not many clouds. By this afternoon, they have three chances of rain in there this week. And so that's kind of how this thing's going. And then the week following is extremely wet and cold. So planting progress reports this afternoon, only 30%, that was under expectations, 30% of corn is in the ground. Illinois, Indiana only increased 1%. So Illinois increased 2% in corn plantings in the last 2 weeks. And it's go time here, and no one's going. And so the market's finally starting to, trade deal or no trade deal, we have to raise a crop. And, China doesn't buy any of our corn to begin with. So in the big picture, earth-shattering about a trade deal. It'd be good to have one, but we got to raise a crop, and we got to get this crop planted, and we're not doing it. So markets reversed. We'll see. We followed through higher in the overnight. Here we're 6, 7 higher in corn. We've been 20 higher in beans. We're probably 12, 13 higher right now. We had a really good day today as well, off about 3 or 4 overnight. It's also quietly 20 cents off its lows from this morning. So, what a difference 12 hours makes. We were all ready to throw up this morning at 7:30, and tonight at 7:30, the world's great again, and we're going to rally this thing. So you just got to show you how quick things change.
Do you feel like the markets have, at least now we know where we're staying anyway? We know we're going to continue this long trade process, whatever it is. Trump was talking about today how he thought he could have a trade deal done by June 1st, and it's like 2 weeks away or whatever. But I'm gonna tariff the hell out of everything, but I think I can have a deal done by June 1st. And maybe laugh when I was driving down the road today, but I mean, obviously, they want to get something done between now and August, probably September time frame, going into the 2020 election, whole campaign cycle and everything else that you see there. But I really feel like, the market's just now saying, okay, all right, at least we know where we're at. It can't get any worse than what we've got, so we're going to move forward and try to trade this based on weather and the other factors that are out there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, after the a wildly bearish USDA report, you just about couldn't throw any more bearish news at this thing. And that's what they say, you know, and a lot of times markets will top on the most bullish news and bottom on the most bearish news. And, you know, we've been 2 weeks away from a trade deal for 11 months now, and there's no trade deal, and there's really no more talks scheduled at this time. They're both sides say we're going to continue, and that's not the end of the road here. But yeah, I think you just digested the absolute most bearish news. The funds are already record short, massively short, never been this short in corn or beans ever. So they've thrown a lot of firepower at the same for the last 9 months. And it just seemed like, you know, it's like the hogs. We talked about this, you know, just you heard all these problems about hogs and African swine fever in China, and yet hogs went down every day. And just all of a sudden, you snap your fingers, and it mattered to the market. And I think finally, the weather matters to the market, especially the corn market, because, like I said earlier, I mean, forget the trade deal. We use, you know, 13.6 billion bushels of corn a year without any going to China.
Right.
So demand's pretty good without China. And, you know, now you have people talking, throwing numbers out, you know, 2 to 5 million pre-mint plant acres. Scott Irwin at the University of Illinois is usually pretty even keeled. He's just off his rocker that USDA used 176 bushel yield on this crop report. He thinks 170 best case. So, you know, if we're going to be 5-7 bushels below trend line and shave off, I don't know, pick a number, 3-4 million acres of corn to prevent plant, there goes a billion bushels off the carryout. So, you know, it's going to come down to the next 3 weeks of weather and getting this crop in the ground, and then we got to raise it. And we're using a lot of corn. And so this, it just shows you how fast things change. You know, it hasn't mattered until today, and now it matters. So we can see a lot of volatility in the next couple of weeks. Right now, as it looks today, 10-day forecast is not great. We're going to probably get a little bit of planting done in areas this week, but it's probably not likely going to be as much as what the market thinks. They all fall back to, I forget how many years ago, several years ago now, we planted like 30% of the crop in corn across the country in 1 week. And the market remembers that and thinks, oh, it's not a problem, we can get this done. But they just don't realize that this time is a little bit different, and it's going to take a couple days at least, some 3 or 4 days to dry out. There's field work to do before they're ready to plant. And just about when it's ready, you know, here comes the next batch of rain in the forecast. So it's starting to be a critical deal. And the bean markets are sensing that as well. I mean, at the lows today, you had front month beans under $8. Basis is horrible. So you're talking about $7.50 cash beans.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not much better for new crop fall beans. What's the incentive to plant beans if it's going to be wet? We're going to take pre-mint plant, you know, on corn, and if it stays wet, we're not going to rush. We're not going to certainly switch corn to beans when we're, you know, at 10-year lows in bean prices. So prices aren't incentivizing people to, you know, be enthusiastic about putting crop in the ground either. And the market's finally sensing that, I believe.
Yeah. All right. So outside market wise, I mean, you took the what happens? Dow finished down about 600 points today. S&P was down whatever it was, 400 or whatever it was. It was everything kind of took a shellacking today. Didn't see the rebound there that you saw everywhere else, but that did have an effect on the cattle market today, as well as, I mean, that's just been getting kicked around here of late when it was kind of the golden child with this African swine fever and the hogs and everything else that were out there. You're starting to see some real stagnation or some moving backwards in the cattle market. So talk about that a little bit when we see there.
Yeah, cash has come down a little bit, so it's kind of the opposite situation that we're seeing in the grain markets. You're going back not that long ago, 3 weeks ago probably, funds were record long in live cattle. So I think what you're seeing is you hit the nail on the head. We've seen a lot of volatility. We're not that far from all-time highs in the stock market, but we've seen a pretty, 4 or 5% drop here in just about a week's time. And I think what's happened is when things are going good and hedge funds are making money, they just get leveraged up and life's great and they put these massive positions on. And I think the trade deal and the uncertainty on that, there were a lot of smart people in the room that thought we were going to get a trade deal done. In fact, I think it really kind of took Washington by surprise. I think some smart people in Washington really felt like we'd get a trade deal done. We didn't. Both sides part ways. That increases the uncertainty in the financial markets. And so the stock market's going to get pummeled. I think maybe what's happening is a lot of these funds trade everything. They trade, you know, grains and livestock and currencies and energies and the stock market. And they do it in a leveraged way. And they get over-leveraged. So I think what's happening is they're just saying, hey, the games change a little bit. Our position sizes are too big. Let's get out of some of this stuff. And so, you know, unfortunately, that means selling pressure in cattle. The silver lining is it means that they've got a lot to buy in the grain markets if they want to get evened up a little bit. So the cattle markets, unfortunately, getting kind of beat up because of that. The funds still have liquidation to happen. It's drugged the cash market down. The good news is, you know, I think that whenever we do find a bottom, we can come snapping back. As you get out there in the deferreds, I think the numbers are going to tighten up again, and we probably don't have a ton of downside from here, but there likely is a little more selling pressure coming in the cattle market. Hogs took it hard today, too, with the Chinese. I would have liked to have seen the hog market come back a little bit, but they closed the limit down in a couple of months and sharp losses there, and that's still the effect of the negativity surrounding the breakdown of the trade talks in the hog market. But there is a real issue in China on their pork side, and I think you can maybe see a little more selling pressure, but I think hogs will bottom quicker than cattle because it is a real bad deal. And I don't know. I mean, China could say they're not going to take our pork. They're going to take our pork. It might move through two other countries first. There's no way they can't take our pork unless they let people starve, which has happened, in history books in the not too distant past. But I think it's a little bit of a different time frame now. So unless people are going to starve or they switch to an alternative, meat source, which doesn't seem likely, what's that going to be? Beef? They're going to start importing U.S. beef? Probably not. They already do to some extent. Poultry they could increase, but their population wants pork. So long story short, I think that you could have a little more liquidation just in fear of the trade talks breaking down. But China's probably, tariff or no tariff, licking their chops out there saying, hey, let's break these hogs a little more because we've got to buy them. Whether it's us or it goes through, we sell a bunch, 587 pounds per capita of pork to Korea, it's going to end up in China, right? No matter what country they buy it through.
Right. that's the kind of thing with the soybean deal. I mean, yeah, they might buy every soybean in South America, but they're still... Those customers that would have bought beans from those parts of the world will eventually have to come buy them from us, right? So I mean,
exactly.
We're in a pretty competitive place when you start looking at our prices. I mean, we're very competitive right now in the open market when you start looking at the dollar, where the dollar's at, and how it exports and all those things, and just our overall price. But we have we do have a fair amount of carryout still. We got 9 times the carryout that we normally would have. We start looking at that, but and that's obviously playing in the market that you see happening out there. But one thing I wanted to get your opinion on and kind of have you kind of weigh on this a little bit. Usually Trump says some stuff and, he says it and you never hear about it again, but I've heard this 3 times now in 3 different news clips and 3 different points in time about the, whatever China would normally buy from the U.S., we're going to give that same support back to the U.S. farmer. And I don't know. It seemed like the soybean deal, the first deal that came out from the soybeans and the corn deal, at the end of the day when everything shook out, there wasn't a whole lot of money that actually got out to the farmer, right? What's your take on that, and how do you feel that's even going to affect the marketplace?
Yeah, I'm uncertain. They are working behind the scenes right now at some sort of an aid package. $15 billion has been thrown around as a number. I don't know that he got a lot of flack for tweeting that, and then he deleted it, and then he put it back up. So it's easier said than done. It sounds good. Brought up on the chalkboard. We just buy all these commodities. The government buys all these commodities from the U.S. producer, and then we're going to send them to, you know, countries that that need it and are poorer. Easier said than done, right? If you're a poor nation, I don't know, pick one somewhere in Sub-Saharan Africa, you know, maybe some of the Central American countries. They don't need whole soybeans. You know, they don't even need corn. They wheat, maybe flour. So it's easier said than done. There is some sort of an aid package being put together. There's been talk about direct buying of commodities. You know, we tried that in the 80s to, you know, not very good success. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect at this point. I think that's in the back of President Trump's mind. I think it's been talked about, and maybe they're, you know, putting a framework together. But the problem is, you hit the nail on the head. The market knows we have big stocks, especially in beans.
Right.
You know, whether it's owned by farmers or owned by the United States government, the world knows the beans are still there. So, you know, I mean, it's crazy to say it. You know, the best thing they could do is buy some corn, buy some beans, destroy it, you know, to supply off the market. Mother Nature might be doing, you know, in the process of doing that as well.
Right.
It seems like all things will even out eventually. And, you know, you could evaporate 800 million bushels, a billion bushels out of the corn carryout real quickly just because of poor planting and, you know, lower the trend line yields.
Right.
Same thing could happen in beans. So Mother Nature is the great equalizer, and whether the U.S. government buys products from, you know, U.S. farmers or not, you know, Mother Nature can do the trick too. But I hope, honestly, I hope it doesn't come to that just because, you know, that's not a free market. You know, I'm a free market guy. Let's get this trade deal done and get things flowing and let the market take care of itself instead of artificially messing with it. It never ends well when you try to curtail supply or curtail demand. The market's got to do it itself.
Right. Well, I mean, Angie Setzer, I think, had a pretty good point on Friday's show when she talked about, I mean, the USDA can't count anyway, so let's just have them not count a few hundred million bushels of soybeans.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they find 300 million bushels easy enough.
Right.
They need to
not
leave 300 million bushels for a couple quarters, and that'll help as well. But unfortunately, it seems like every quarterly stock number that comes out, they seriously find 300 million bushels.
Yeah, they need to leave those closet doors shut, and then they don't have to worry about finding it. It makes it so much better. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, Chip, plenty of stuff going on here. I mean, like you said, you know, we talk about it all the time. Today was a great example of that, having a plan and executing that plan. So if folks are working on a plan or need some help getting down that path, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Yeah, best way is just call our office, 309-550-7213. Even on the lows, there were things to do. It's easy to get, you know, dejected about the markets. But in a lot of cases, there was a crop insurance play in beans, right? Because bean prices dropped so low that for guys that took high coverage levels or bought up some of those private products that, you know, bumped coverages up to 90 or 95%, there were some moves to be made in on the bean side of things to essentially lock a crop insurance payment in. And so, you know, there's always things to do there on the highs, on the lows, and everywhere in between. You've got to use the volatility as your friend and to your advantage. So feel free to give us a call if you're, you know, dejected about the markets. We can send you some information on, you know, maybe why you shouldn't be, and maybe open your eyes a little bit and calm your nerves a little bit as well.
Yep, absolutely. So a couple things here. One, if you are watching this right now and you'd like to get yourself a Moving Iron Podcast koozie, first edition, by the way, send me a direct message me on Twitter and I'll get you one out. Also, I'll throw a few Moving Iron pins in there for you as well. A couple other guys that are out there that I that I run the Global Ag Network or the Dryland Farmer Podcast. Do the same with those guys. Listen to their podcast. Give them a shout. They're out there on Trader Brent and No Twit Landon 44 out there on Twitter, and they'll bet you they can hook you up with some koozies as well. Also, Damien Mason's got a new book out called Do Business Better. Check that out. It's a great graduation gift. I've read it. It's got good information in it. It's funny at the same time. So, Chip, anything you want to throw out there you want to plug before we shut it down?
I think you covered it all, Casey. It's gonna get dicey out there. Already is 20 cents off the lows in corn, less than 12 hours. So volatility is starting to rear its head there.
Yeah, I think we're gonna see some volatile plays here, especially this week as we start heading into, like you talked about. We got, you know, same thing out here. It wasn't supposed to rain in pretty much the state of Nebraska from basically Saturday through Saturday, and I drove across the entire state of Nebraska on Saturday afternoon, and it followed me from Scottsbluff to Omaha. So, you know, the closer I got to Omaha, the more wet it got. So,
it's a bad start to spring when all of a sudden the 20% chance, you start catching those regularly.
Yep.
So we had the same thing. We had a 0% chance on Saturday.
Yep.
And it poured down rain, rained 3 or 4 tenths, and then it rained Sunday. And, like I said, we woke up this morning to a 6-day dry forecast. And by 5:30 this evening, there's 3 chances of rain in the next 5 days. So not a great start. And, one of the best things that could happen here is stock guys have had a nice run higher, right? All-time high is 10-year bull market. We need a little more volatility, a little more down move in the stock market. And I think you'd see these funds, kind of deleverage, meaning they're going to, as stocks go down, they're going to get out of some of their stocks, but also their outside kind of peripheral positions, such as the grain markets, they're going to start buying back some shorts there as well, and keep the volatility rolling. So, stock guys have had it good for a while. Let's maybe have them take one for the team here and get the stock market riled up, drop another 600 or 800 points, and get the funds running out of their shorts in the grain markets, and everyone running for the door at the same time, and we're going to get a nice rally out of this thing, especially if it stays wet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you got to think a lot of guys, too, there's got to be some pressure on them when you look at the oil market. I mean, what it did overnight, especially with the news coming out of Saudi Arabia, and latest reports show that Iran had some play to do with that attack on some tankers out there. But there's a pretty sharp jump in not only Brent crude, but also West Texas. I mean, so there's going to be some guys out there on the energy side that made a few dollars that are going to want to sell that and move into something else that they could probably see a potential upside in.
Yeah, we had a big reversal today. The stock market crude oil market kind of ended up following the stock market. It was sharply higher in the morning and reversed lower late in the day. But this Iran thing is a real deal. They're rattling the sabers a little bit. We've got, aircraft carriers en route. That thing could escalate quickly. And if you do, you could see a quick spike first in oil if this thing escalates anymore. And that'll spill over and help profitability in ethanol as well, which already has recovered some.
Yeah.
So things change so fast. I was just mentioning it tonight. I'm like, I feel like a dinosaur in this bit. I mean, it changes so fast. The markets have always, been fast and volatile, but it's just unbelievable how lightning quick sentiment changes. Just, it's unpredictable, and it's a drop of a hat, and it's unbelievable how much money flows in and out of these markets, and, how in the morning everything is disastrous, and by the afternoon, it's great again. So that's good, but it's hard to stomach through that, and it just goes back to what you said. You've got to have a plan, or it's going to just whipsaw you emotionally.
Yep. Well, like we talked about many times, a news story or a tweet or whatever it is, everyone's trying to get ahead on everything else that's out there. So you just got to keep your head on a swivel, man. That's the best way to put it.
Head on a swivel.
Keep looking around, man. So, all right, Chip.
We need to rename this to the Head on a Swivel podcast.
That's what we should call it, because every time you jump on there's some massive change in the marketplace somehow. You know, so you got to be thinking. Yeah. Quick on your feet. All right, Chip.
Exactly.
Get that phone number one more time.
309-550-7213 is our office number.
Right on. All right, folks. Another thing, too, make sure you check out globalagnetwork.com and set yourself up with an account there, and you can get all the great podcasts on there delivered to you live when they come out. So other than that, Chip, we will talk to you again next week. Have yourself a good one, and stay dry, my friend.
All right. Head on a swivel, Casey.
There you go, buddy.
All right, see ya.
See ya. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Mellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Please visit MovingIronLLC.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and GlobalAgNetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving